Greetings, everyone! Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. This is a show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So, join me now as we explore what makes Newfoundland and Labrador's music scene so special. And if you're listening out there, be a part of my mission of growing our music sector one song at a time, one share, and one listen at a time. If you're just tuning in for the first time, make sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can subscribe and follow the podcast on Apple Music or Spotify, and you can also get full-length video versions of my conversations with my guests here on the show on the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel. Subscribe to that and make sure to stay connected with the Musical Connections podcast. I am your host, Zach Snow. We got another great show lined up for you this week, and we are going to be connecting with musician and hip-hop producer Liam Ryan. He is one of the three members of emo band Swimming, who got a brand new album coming out next month on the 21st of February called Old. We talk about that, plus we go in depth into Liam Ryan's hip-hop pseudonym Cat Cafe, who has produced albums for the likes of G-Smooth, Reggie Morales, and Albert Dalton. We also go into how his career got started, from playing in the Celtic Fiddlers to his love for traditional music, and a whole lot more, plus his process for sampling. We get into all that and so much more coming up on the Musical Connections podcast this week. We'll get there right after we feature the newfound releases of the week. These songs came out between January the 12th to the 18th. And we kick it off with Fox Island River's Jason Benoit. He has been a frequent contributor to this segment of the podcast. Here is Pretty Little Missy on Newfound Releases.
She walks in, sits down, she's knocking me out, driving me insane, candlelight, champagne. Where you been, baby, baby, out of my life?
Was Jason Benoit with Pretty Little Missy here on Newfound Releases. We now go to Canadian singer-songwriter Jesse Smith. It says here that his music features a blend of acoustic and electric elements, and his songwriting has been compared to those of Blue Rodeo, Tom Petty, Midland, and Neil Young. And he released his album Headlights, which he worked on with Dave Fitzpatrick. Of course, many of us know Dave Fitzpatrick from his work with the Fables, but he's making some noise out in South River, producing some rural Newfoundland gems. Right now from Jesse Smith, here is Get Behind This on Newfound Releases.
Turn the headlights on, run the radio up. Let's get going somewhere where we know all the names and all the faces and every place to slip away. Crank up that tune, I wanna see you move. Baby, break it down slow, make it feel like more. That's a Mayfield line if you didn't know. And this ain't his tune, but I hope that you can get behind this. Hope that you can get behind this. Baby, can you get behind this? Can you get behind this? Pitter-patter goes my heart every time you start off by saying just what I want to hear. Baby, open those eyes and take a look my way. Don't forget to reel me in. Don't forget to get behind this. Don't forget to get go black before the night takes over. It's the feel of your hair getting closer on my shoulder. It's knowing your face is getting closer to mine. When I turn your way, well, I hope that I'll find you. Get behind this. Hope that you can get behind this. Know that you can get behind this.
And that was Jesse Smith with Headlights on Newfound Releases. We go to one of our most frequent contributors of this segment, Logan Bolt. Right now from Logan, here is 20 on Newfound Releases.
Second decade alive, the time slide slipping. It's running through my motherfucking fingers. I had to make it big, prove I'm different before it gets too late for me to see the bigger picture. So I need to redefine how I'm living. I will keep on digging deeper, I'm in search of motivation. Reaching out to God, give me strength to find what's missing. And strength to finally wake up and say fuck my temptations. Cause if I stay this way, then I can put 10,000 hours in. Maggots, I had 17 chances to get out of this. Maggots bars don't even come to me when I'm showering no more. Man, this shit is the opposite of empowering. But now again, it's forbidden fruit that I'm devouring. Cannot blame the outcome, cause this shit is just how it is. Play with fire and you know you're bound to get 1,000 blisters. Man, that shit would change with 50,000 listeners. But from that moment, I felt nothing but alone. Numbers really don't mean shit to me, but flexing on a phone. Only thing that truly matters is the music and my clothes. But I can do some damage if I use it for the wrong reasons. Winter, here's a long, long season. That explain why my heart's freezing. Carhartt fleece, so thick you can't even see me. I always been odd, just people trying to get even. I'm trying to get some Jesus peace and Jesus pieces. I should be the cleanest, clean, your shit is fecious. Stay up in that one lane, they can't afford a beast. Which you've been way too excited for reaching the floor to keys. With the palm trees all by the sea, they balling. With a JB, a flip six, size 29 Spalding. Playing on me, that new LB, they call me. Tell me you gon' put that glow on your back like off key. Well, it's one thing to put the world on my back, but if it's two, good for me to lift, I might just snap into three versions of myself like shattered glass. For the evil, the peaceful, the one that's gonna last. See, I'm trying to figure out exactly who I am. But I'm fresh out of trust, I've been isolated. And I don't tell a small thing lately, no I can't. And I'm fresh out of fucks, always get too many. I say, bitch, you better run. The ones that's closest to you can't trust them. Like Ichi, Peachy, Perry, Bum. I wonder which come don't end up in red rum. In the water, chuck it in circle and send it slaughter. But if I know you, then you gon' fit in, I promise. The fault is on you, cause you follow. I paint my own pictures, Miss Frida Kahlo. When I've been on some man shit since I was 15. See the fits I put together, them fits are pristine. In my first show, when I was 16. Now they only listen to Chap when I'm 16. Bitch, please, 2025, I'm on your feed. All of me got receipts I don't want or need. I believe it's hard to believe that I'm 20. Maybe this year I find out who I am. I might give up my addictions and see what's deep beneath. Kill it. Redirect the mission and weed out all the weak. Kill it. Starting a fund that care less and less about the money. Guess I'll never make it in before my fucking 20s.
That was Logan Bolt on Newfound Releases with 20, and he spelt it T-W-U-N-N-Y. Great song there from Logan, and that will not be his last. I think he's over a dozen songs on this segment, so Logan, keep cranking out the hits, buddy. We now go to Miss Chris, and it is the project of Christian Butt. She has been performing and making music since the age of 3, and is a graduate of Munn's School of Music and Music Education, and she finished her master's in leadership and is currently in the second year of her master's of counseling psychology, and she is working as a high school music specialist at Mount Pearl Senior High. And, of course, she is the partner of David Shears, but she is breaking out on her own with her new children's music project, Miss Chris. She has a strong passion for making music with her littlest students, and her music is meant to uplift and inspire children to be their best selves. Well, if I can get music like this and always puts me in a good mood, I'm looking forward to seeing what else is in store for Miss Chris. Right now, here is the debut single of Miss Chris, The Day Has Just Begun, on Newfound Releases.
Waiting for
That is such an awesome song. Always a great way to put you in a good mood. Miss Chris for you on Newfound Releases with The Day Has Just Begun. We are now going to thrash hard with this next group, Paranoia. They are a thrash metal band from Lark Harbor, Newfoundland, and they formed in 2021 and consist of vocalist Adam Gallant, drummer John Park, and bassist Ryder Walters joining later that same year. And they draw inspiration from 80s thrash and the dark intensity of late 80s, early 90s death metal. And they promise to deliver a sonic assault that is reminiscent of classic acts from that era. Right now from their upcoming album, Thrash to Kill, here are Paranoia for you now on Newfound Releases with Cathedral of Death.
We'll be right back.
That was Paranoia for you on Newfound Releases with Cathedral of Death. We now go to emo band Swimming, and they got a brand new album set to drop on February 21st. It is titled Old, and from that brand new album, here's the second single from that. This is Resorts on Newfound Releases. Swimming for you on Newfound Releases with Resorts. I'll be talking with one of the members of the group Swimming, Liam Ryan, coming up on the Musical Connections podcast following our last Newfound Release of the week, and it comes from four-piece rock band from St. John's, The Way East. It is the brainchild of Christopher Hibbs and Jack Picco, and they have since added Dylan Billard and Stephen Martin to the group. So the lineup of the group is as follows. Jack Pickles on lead vocals and rhythm guitar, lead guitar Chris Hibbs, and thank you to Chris for sending these over to me, Dylan Billard on bass guitar and vocals, and Stephen Martin on drums. And from their upcoming album, Broken Memories, here are The Way East for you now on Newfound Releases with High School Locker.
High school, we were
first half of the show with our newfound releases of the week. If you want to be featured on this segment, if you're a musician from Newfoundland or Labrador that wants your music out there, email your submissions to musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. And the following is required. Make sure to have your production credits, make sure to have a promo photo, a headshot is required, and the file itself. If you want to find out how you qualify, head on over to my Linktree.com/ZachSnowNL and find the Newfound Releases Guide in the Musical Connections Resources tab. It'll tell you everything that you need to know about how you qualify for Newfound Releases, and any further questions can be emailed directly to musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. It is now time to get into the second half of the show, where I bring on a special guest to talk about their careers and brand new projects. And today on the Musical Connections podcast, we connect with Liam Ryan. He is a musician who you may be familiar with as one of the three members of the band Swimming. He also plays in Birchbeer. He owns his own record label, Barely There Records, and he goes under his hip-hop pseudonym, Cat Cafe. We talk about all that in this conversation. We mainly talk about Swimming and Cat Cafe. On the note of Swimming, they got a brand new album called Old, set to come out February 21st. And as Liam talks about in this conversation, he's working on three brand new Cat Cafe records. He also dives deeper into his career, from how he started in music, to playing with the Celtic Fiddlers, and how that made him discover traditional music and made him fall in love with it. Plus, we talk about his process for sampling hip-hop beats, and a whole lot more. This was such a fun conversation. Me and him have been talking about this for a while now. Of course, Liam works down at Fred's Records, so I visit the guys down there from time to time. Tony Plowman, Quentin, Trey, all the guys down there are phenomenal. And Fred's Records is the best record store in Canada. I like to see someone argue that point with me otherwise. On the note of Liam, let's get to that conversation now. This is the Musical Connections podcast, and let's connect now with Liam Ryan. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast, and joining me right now here in the studio, he is a musician that is a jack of all trades. He plays in the emo group Swimming, and he is also known under his pseudonym Cat Cafe for producing some of the best beats here in Newfoundland and Labrador in the hip-hop scene for the likes of Albert Dalton and Reggie Morales. Well, on the note of Swimming, they got a brand new album called Old set to come out next month, and he is also working on some stuff under his pseudonym Cat Cafe. The guy I'm talking about, Liam Ryan, he joins me here in the studio. Welcome.
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
I am fantastic, and you are a very busy guy lately. I mean, you got a brand new record out with your group Swimming. That's yourself, Nick Hunt, and Jake Cherwick. That's coming out, I think, February the 21st or the 17th?
21st, correct, yep.
Okay, so I was right the first time. Perfect. Yep. And you also do some work under your pseudonym, Cat Cafe. You produce some amazing beats, especially the ones I heard on St. Thomas Line last April. So, how are things with you right now?
Good. No complaints, really. Keeping busy, which is the main thing.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now, of course, I've heard your name through those projects, but there may be some listeners out there that may not know who Liam Ryan is. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I think you summed up a lot of it. I'm a musician who lives in currently in Conception Bay South, who's been playing in bands since I was probably 15 or so, 11, 12 years. I try to do anything I can, really, genre-wise. I play with Swimming, which is like mostly like an emo, like alternative rock band. I've been making beats for around as long as I've been playing guitar, and so I'd say closer to like 10 years maybe. And that started when I met my friend Albert Dalton when we were in high school. But I've also played in like a bunch of punk and hardcore bands, and some like more like straight up rock bands, and some, you know, even like some traditional music throughout the years and whatnot. So yeah, keep busy and try to just get my hands in whatever I can.
That's wonderful. Yep. Traditional music. What band did you play in that was playing traditional music?
I played bass in a band called the Celtic Fiddlers, and I played bass on one of the last CDs they put out. The name is escaping me now.
But, Ready for the Storm?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, so I played with them for a few years, and then outside of that, me and friends just like would you know, have like sessions like and like play trad tunes together, and then like a few times we did some performances and whatnot. Yeah, but like that wasn't really under a name or anything like that. You know, we were just kind of like house music kind of thing. Yeah, like I love traditional music. It's a big passion of mine. Like as me and you've spoken about privately before, like a you know, it's there's so much great stuff to go through historically speaking within Newfoundland, and my 9 to 5 is working at a record store, so I you know keep up with all the used Newfoundland records that are coming through, and have quite the collection myself at home, and I love traditional music. It's a passion for sure.
So what traditional music did you listen to growing up?
You know, it was not really when I was growing up. It was more so
recently,
like when I was like probably 18.
Okay,
was when it started. So that was like the stuff that really grabbed me was like the Pigeon Inlet like records, and through that, like it was kind of like, you know, just diving into any record that was that was like kind of like, okay, like where, like obviously I got into like the Dardanelles and like Rum Ragged and stuff like that. So it was kind of like, oh, like where were they hearing these songs and these tunes from? So then like I would like go and like and try to find like the reference point of where they found it. So yeah, like, you know, like Rufus Ginshare and Amelia Benoit, Ryan's Fancy, I love those records as well. What else? Like I became like obsessed with Ron Hines, even though that's more of like, you know, folk singer songwriter music. I feel like it could be in the same conversation, you know, of becoming like traditional music throughout the years.
Yes.
In a way. Like, I guess just through work as well, having to know stuff about Newfoundland music to be able to talk to people and to be able to give people recommendations. Like I would just go through and like play like all the CDs that were kicking around to like try to like, you know, get familiar with everything.
Yeah.
It's mostly like, I feel like a lot of like the fiddle tune kind of records were really what grabbed me. But I also love like a bunch of the spoken word records that like came out through Pigeon Inlet as well. And like, you know, you can't forget like All the Best. That compilation is great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the first CDs really to come out of this province. Or actually, no, that's another time. But it was really one of the first albums, I should say, to be produced entirely here in Newfoundland, because before, when you look at the groups like groups like Ryan's Fancy, they were mainly recorded in Halifax. A. Frank Willis and Dick Nolan, they recorded in Ontario, or A. Frank Willis's case down in Nashville.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a cool album. It is interesting. I think you're right. It might be one of the first Newfoundland CDs. But yeah, I think like you said, Another Time is the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've had Conor Bryan on the show before. He said following that, Misty Morning Shore came out. That's one of the they were one of the first bands to be put on CD.
Okay.
And
cool.
You can see right over there, the Irish Descendants 35 for 35.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
going to vinyl for the first time, which is really funny. And I should also mention that same record store is the best record store in Canada, not just Newfoundland and Labrador, but in Canada, Fred's Records.
Yeah,
they have some amazing selections down there.
Totally.
And I believe when Conor Bryan was on, he was talking about like a conversation that him and Tony Plowman had, and saying that like all the record sales these days down at Fred's, 80% of it is vinyl records, which is insane to believe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's wild. Vinyl is, you know, I feel like has been obviously coming back, as you know, like for probably over almost 15 years at this point. But like now it's like, it's the standard for physical music sales.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty bizarre. And like you mentioned, like my band Swimming has an album coming out and that will be on vinyl. And that'll be our second vinyl record as well. The first album came out on vinyl, and like,
wow.
And like, we don't regret, like, you know, like buying, like it's a lot of money up front, but I think we have little to no copies left of the first one. And so it's like, it's almost like a no brainer. It's like it's a big investment, but like, it's a worthwhile return for musicians.
Exactly. Because when it comes to like selling vinyl, you can make most of that back too, because a lot of people are craving vinyl these days. And as much as I love collecting CDs, I have like about 400 or 500 down back at home.
Yeah.
They don't sell as much or sell at all.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird the shift because I you know, I feel like I started noticing in maybe 2018 or so, just personally, like I stopped buying as many CDs and like started buying more records because I feel like with the lack of CD players in cars, like that was a big thing for people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was kind of like, oh, we're like, where am I going to play this, you know? So who knows, maybe that has something to do with it. Can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that also has to do with the arrival of MP3s, especially going back as far as, you know, the start of the millennium with Napster and uTorrent and all these other platforms, really, where you can get your music legally. And then you have places like iTunes that you can get them legally.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it also changed even further when you go back into the 2010s with Spotify and Apple Music becoming very prominent. It's like the streaming world has really taken over the way we consume music. But totally. That's probably resulting in the comeback of vinyl in a way, because people really crave for nostalgia.
Nostalgia and like maybe like having the physical thing to like sit down with, you know what I mean? Like it kind of forces you to listen to the whole record. And like you can like really like dive into it. Who knows? Like I feel like there's something there for sure. That like people crave who are maybe from the era of the digital format, you know, like the iPod into like the streaming service, blah blah. So yeah, I feel like records are for locally, like there's every year there's more and more coming out, and it's nice to see, you know, it's like it's nice to see something like the Irish Descendant box set, you know, especially with traditional music. Like there's not a lot of bands who do traditional music with like vinyl records, so it's great to see like people taking the step to do it, you know.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably see a shift going towards that now, because again, if you really want to take this seriously, that's really the best way to make your money back.
Totally. Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
So how did this all start for you, Liam, when it comes to this music career that you're pursuing?
I guess like when I started playing music in end of middle school, early high school. I, like a lot of people, I got really obsessed with the Beatles and through that, like classic rock. And, you know, I wanted to play guitar because I had some friends who play guitar. And, yeah, it was pretty quick moving. I was really passionate about it as soon as I got into it and was really focused on practicing, because a lot of my friends at that point had been playing for quite a long time, you know, like quite a long time in terms of being a kid, like maybe like 5 years or so. So I felt like I was really late to the game. So I was really determined to catch up to them. And then there was like a point where all those friends who I started playing music with stopped playing music. And, you know, I start playing music with new people, blah, blah, you know, just like growing up stuff, you know, like you drift away from friend groups and whatnot. And then by high school, I was playing in a few bands, and anybody who was playing music in my high school, like I wanted to connect with them and be friends with them and play music with them. So it was, you know, pretty varied sound wise. Like I played with Nick Hunt, who I've been swimming with. Me and him have been playing music together forever.
Wow.
So we played in a band back then, and like it was like kind of like screamo emo kind of stuff, and then I would play bass with like other people who were doing kind of maybe like some singer songwriter stuff, and then met Albert around that same time. We met through our mutual love of the White Stripes, and through that, like I wasn't really listening to rap at that point. Like in like early high school, I was like really into punk and you know, like post hardcore and like kind of like screamo and kind of like metalcore stuff. I got into punk through my mom, which is like the funny story.
What?
Yeah. So like when I was into like classic rock and, you know, going, you kind of like, I feel like you start somewhere, like where I started was the Beatles, and you move like
mm-hmm.
through like the years. And next thing you know, you're listening to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin or whatever. And then like, I can't remember what it was, but I might've brought up like the Ramones or something like that to her. And she was like, oh yeah, like, you know, like back in the day, like the Sex Pistols was like the really cool band. And like, she showed me the Sex Pistols and showed me like the Buzzcocks, but like, she really loved like post-punk and like new wave kind of stuff. So, yeah, like, so she like would show me, like, she showed me all this like 70s punk, and then like showed me like all this like new wave and post-punk stuff, that, which I thought was cool, but like it didn't really click until like the last couple of years, like that stuff, like how much fun and like great that music is. But, yeah. And then through that, like I got into, I remember like I like got into like Nirvana and like 90s like music, and then like 80s DC like hardcore, like, you know, Minor Threat and the stuff that came after that, like Fugazi and Rites of Spring and all that stuff. So it was, I feel like it was all like kind of a snowball of like finding out what that, what spawned out of, you know, 60s rock, and then what spawned out of like 70s hard rock and psychedelic rock and blah blah, you know, like it was like a, it was a weird momentum of just wanting to know the next thing and what was like the thing that influenced that and blah blah, which I feel like is kind of like is like the record collector mindset perhaps. Yeah,
that's amazing, man. Now I want to turn away from you know, the hard rock stuff, because I've also known you through the hip-hop scene. You go under the pseudonym Cat Cafe.
Yeah.
So how did you get into rap music, and how did you come up with the pseudonym Cat Cafe?
So the it's a bit vague in my memory of when I started listening to rap, but I remember, you know, like that whole idea of like getting into stuff and finding out what was after and what was next and blah, blah. I got into like 90s and like late 80s, like kind of boom bap stuff. So, you know, like I found out about like Public Enemy, and through like hardcore, like 80s hardcore, I found out about like the Beastie Boys, like, cause I was listening to their hardcore stuff and then got into their rap stuff. So like, yeah, Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, like, Notorious B.I.G., like stuff like that, like kind of like the essential like baseline for classic hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like, me and Albert would like talk about that kind of stuff, and like we would like jam, like me and like my friends would like play like Biggie instrumentals, and he would like rap his verses over them and stuff like that, or like he would like kind of like show us a song and we'd like learn like how to play it, and it was like a lot of fun. But I got into like contemporary rap through my sister's well, my sister's now husband, actually, like, he would like pick me up from school, like with her or whatever. And he had a subwoofer in his trunk, and like, he would be playing like Drake or like Kendrick or something like that. And like the bass would be like so heavy, and like, you know, being into heavy music, like I was just like, this is awesome. Like this, like this sounds insane. Like, and I got really into like, I guess like what people would call trap, or like, you know, like pop rap or contemporary rap, whatever you would want to call it.
Yeah.
Like, I got like super into Kendrick. I got super into like, into Drake, and then like super into like Chief Keef and like Waka Flocka Flame and kind of like stuff like that. Like ASAP Rocky, ASAP Ferg. And, around that time I got really into like Odd Future, like Tyler Creator and like Earl Sweatshirt and Frank Ocean, like their collective at the time.
Oh yeah.
Which like I thought was like a really cool idea. And like, I also was like really into like pro era, like Joey Badass's collective. So there was a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like it was a really good time to be like into rap that was coming out then.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a real cultural shift of like a lot of young people who were coming up and like were like these stars of, you know, music. And that was really exciting, because at that point, everything I would listen to already had happened. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, even like when I started getting into bands that were more recent, like I got into like Alexis on Fire, or like, you know, like some like more obscure like emo bands like I Kill Giants and whatnot. It was like always like it seemed like a year, like I'm a year late. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, that band just broke up. Oh, that like that band like is not playing anymore. Blah blah blah. So to get it, when I got into rap, it was awesome, because it was like, oh, like Kendrick Lamar is putting out To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, I got to go download that on iTunes. You
awesome
know what
album.
I mean? Yeah, awesome albums. Like, it was, like, really exciting for me, like, as a young person, like, to then be, like, into music that's coming out, and, like, to, like, have, like, these moments where, like, I'm like, oh, like, I remember when that album came out. Like, I remember, like, the day that that came out, and, like, the buzz around, like, my friends in school or whatever. You know, it's, like, it's like very funny to look back on that stuff because you don't think anything of it. Like it's just an album coming out. And then
yes,
like,
absolutely.
And it's like now whenever it's like someone puts on Life of Pablo by Kanye West, I'm just like, oh my God, like I remember like the exact moment I heard this album. But anyways, sorry to on that tangent. I got into making beats because I feel like I was getting into all this like contemporary rap stuff and hanging out with Albert, and we had like some other friends who like kind of rapped, and I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to be like taking part in it. Like I didn't really want to rap personally, but like I wanted to like make beats and like DJ for them or whatever. Cause sampling like is actually like sampling's really hard. And I feel like people like who don't do it, don't really realize that it's like really a complex thing to get into, especially when you're 15 or whatever on GarageBand trying to figure out how people are sampling off records and whatnot. So the idea of like these instrumentals that I'm listening to that are mostly like drums and 808s and maybe like a singular like synth part, I found like, I was like, I feel like I could do that. Like I could get to that point. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Just like a desire of like wanting to be a part of like what my friends were doing. And I kind of just stuck with it through that.
Wonderful. Now, of course, you mentioned a whole host of influences going from like the 60s to the 90s. And then you talked about the hip hop influences like Public Enemy, Notorious B.I.G., Kendrick and Drake. And especially Kendrick and Drake, there were the talk of 2024 with their feud.
Yes.
Not Like Us. It's probably one of my favorite songs this past year.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
But I want to go into your process of what do you do when it comes to, you know, sampling for hip hop?
So I make everything on GarageBand still, which is like the free Apple one that comes with your computer. And I've done it in a few different ways. When it comes to vinyl, I will like, you know, run my record player or like, you know, maybe out of my, like my amplifier into my interface. And like, I play the record and record it to the computer and like find a section that I like and then chop it up in the computer. Recently I've gotten like a Roland SP-404, which is like a little sampler with some pads on it and stuff like that. I've been trying to figure that out, but like, that's like a big learning curve. Like, I have a lot of respect for people who can make an entire beat like in a piece of hardware, you know what I mean? Cause for me, it's like a big visual thing. Like I have to like see the waveforms to like kind of chop it up and to know where to put what. But, my beats have taken over the years like a huge turn, and now like they're pretty much all primarily samples. Where like starting off there was like no sampling at all. Like I didn't really understand it. So yeah, it's just like kind of just, you know, sometimes you're like listening to a record and you hear a moment and you're like, oh my God, like that would be perfect. And then a lot of times I'm just like sitting down and forcing myself to like make something out of whatever I find. Like I'm like, okay, this is a cool record. I'm gonna sample this and it might suck. And I might not ever show anybody it, but like it's the act of doing it. I feel like it's kind of like songwriting, you know. It's like people are like you just gotta write songs and you just gotta continue to do it. And you don't need to use every song. And like the song, you might hate the song or whatever, and it might not ever make it past the Notes app or like the voice memo app. But like you just gotta do it. So like that's like kind of like with like sampling too. It's like even if like I start doing it, I'm like, this is awful, like awful mistake to use this song. Like I'll see it through to the very end, and then you know, maybe I'll close it, save it, and then open it up 2 weeks later, and I hear it like with a fresh set of ears. I'm like, okay, well, you know, there's something here. I can do something with this.
Yes, yeah. And we all start somewhere, and it's really just getting it out of your head and really writing it down or recording it on something just to really, you know, like get it to, you know, that finish line that you really wanted to get to.
Yep. Totally.
So what are some of your influences for the samples that you make?
I think that early on it was like MF Doom, Madlib, like a lot of like that kind of stuff was like the stuff I was seeing like of like, oh, like these guys are sampling, like that's like really cool. And now like I feel like there's a whole wave of hip hop that since maybe 2019 has been like my primary listenings when like people like Mike, people like Mavi, like Earl Sweatshirt, like his newer stuff is like in this like whole realm of like samples, and the beats like a lot of the times are just samples. Like there's no drums or anything like that. It's just like chopping up like a like soul loop and like someone rapping just over like a singular like part of a song. And I really think that's like cool. Like it's like this like very minimalist approach. I feel like with trap and like this the contemporary rap for so many years that I was in love with and I still love and have a lot of fun listening to. But there's like a lot going on. There's like a lot of stuff going on, like percussion wise, there's a lot like going on within the hi-hats and the 808s are going crazy. And you know, if you got like Kendrick or like someone like Travis Scott, like there's like all these like insane changes throughout the song. Mm-hmm. And it was like this very like rich listening, like, you know, like there's a lot going on. So I think it's kind of this response in a way where people are like doing the complete opposite, where it's like like it's one sample. There's no drums. Someone's just rapping on that. And I think it's like very, you know, it's very against the grain. And now you see like Drake and like Lil Yachty and like a lot of these people like rapping on these styles of beats and like are very like aware of like what's going on within like the underground.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, yeah, I guess like people call it like abstract boom bap. People call it like drumless rap. I don't really even know. It's just rap. Like mm-hmm. It's just boom bap at the end of the day. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's rap that really, you know, is making waves right now. When it comes to the beat changes, of course, Kendrick's new album GNX is wicked.
Yeah, yeah.
And on TV Off, you hear like Kendrick's free Mustard.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's gone viral. I think DJ Mustard now will go wherever he goes now. He'll be hearing that and just like, what have I started?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. That's a fun track. Yeah. That whole album's a lot of fun. I'm not like extremely up on like West Coast rap. Currently speaking, so it was really cool to hear that album and be like, oh, like there's a lot here that I need to dive into, like producer wise and rapper wise and whatnot. You know, like I feel like maybe the whole world is kind of feeling like that. You know, like yeah. like there's something going on here that we're not aware of. You know,
for sure. Now yeah. I want to focus on the collective that you got with Albert and also with Reggie Morales and yeah. Bales, which all three of them I featured on the podcast before.
Yeah.
How did this whole Already Dead collective come together?
That was probably in 2017, I think. I met Reggie in class at College of the North Atlantic. We were doing like the same program. Yeah, we just became buddies pretty much instantly. And he like within like a few minutes of meeting him, like the conversation of rap started and he like showed me something that he was working on and he was doing it at quite a long time at that point with like Antics from Mount Pearl and he was working a lot with G Smooth, who's like also amazing. So he shows me his stuff. I show him some beats that I was making for Albert that Albert rapped on. And then next thing you know, we're like probably a couple weeks later, me and Albert are like at his house and we're like making music and we're like make one song, turns into two songs, turns into three songs, etc. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, we got to put like a name on this. Like, it's like going to be an album and a group. And then Bales came into the mix probably shortly after our friend Mike Sims made a video for him. And then he was also at College in the North Atlantic at the same time. So we just met him kind of like, I just like started talking to him in the halls or maybe like over Facebook and was like, hey, I see you around. Like, let's hang out sometime. And, I feel like, we've done 3-4 projects
wow
together and then like a bunch of projects on our own that we've all like had hands in helping make. I feel like we were just really into kind of like a heavier style rap at that point and now it's like chilled out in a big way. So I don't know, We probably will put out another project under that name again, I'm sure. But like right now, like it's kind of we're just like making music and I guess focusing on like you know like Albert's makes an album and like I make the beats for her, and then Reggie's you know pretty much recording the full thing for Albert or like you know f- featuring on a couple of the songs and vice versa. Like, it's like we all like work together and we all have a lot of fun working together. Like those guys are some of my best friends. So yeah.
That's wicked, man. And it seems like you've really, you know, found your niche in this hip hop market. And when it comes to the hip hop market here, like, it's really bubbling up. It's really starting to, like, you know, gain some traction. So
yeah.
What more do you think could be done to help, you know, the hip hop scene? And I'm also going to mention, you know, the punk music scene and the heavy music scene as well, because I feel like there are pretty niche when it comes to, say, the music that's really prominently featured here, like the folk and the country music here in the province. Yeah. So what more do you think needs to be done to, you know, make sure, you know, more eyes are on these particular scenes?
With hip hop, it's a bit weird. I think that I've seen it go through a lot of waves the last couple of years, like going from playing the Rock House and there being, you know, like 100+ people in the audience or whatever who are like actively like engaging with like what's happening on stage and are like very into it, to kind of seeing like a big like nosedive of like not like well like shows that aren't well attended and whatnot. Like, so for me and like my friends, you know, like Reggie, Albert, Smooth, Bales, we look at it from like the perspective of like most people, you know, like rap music and listen to rap music. It's like, I guess, the second most popular genre in the world after country. Or I don't know, like I think that like it was rap and then the country has like became the most popular genre in the last couple of years or something like that. But the way I look at it is I would rather throw a show with, you know, four bands or three bands and then have Albert or have Reggie or have Smooth or whoever do a set on that show, because I feel like people who are there are going to be really into it and like understand it, and like, you know, they know those guys personally as well. Like, so it's like, I think that like for me, the thing that has to be done or that could be done is diversifying the genre on the bill, like your show. It's like, you know, it's like if your band has a following and it's like bringing people out, it's like, and you like these people's music, it's like you should ask them to play the show, you know what I mean? It's like, you might not know them, but it's like worthwhile to reach out and get to know them and be like, hey, do you want to play blank venue? And like for me, like these are, you know, again, like my best friends and like music that I'm very passionate about. So like we've thrown shows and like I'm like, all right, I'm putting Albert straight in the middle of all of it. So like he is going to get the best set time, because I know that like there aren't a lot of eyes currently on hip hop when it comes to like a live performance. And then there's, you know, don't get me wrong, there's like events that are strictly hip hop events that have like went great over the last couple of years, like Luke Berry with Memorius Maximus. He threw like a really great hip hop show. Dave Connors, like Sarcastodon, his release show at Bannerman. Like, me and you were both at that.
Oh yeah, that was an amazing show.
That was a good time, a good crowd. Like, you know, like there are going to be shows that are like rap shows that are good, but you know, it's just like I think that people just gotta get rappers on like rock bills, punk bills, whatever you want to do, like, you know, electronic music bills, because people are going to enjoy it. And I think it's, you know, it's the next step of like getting like to break down that wall. Like, it's not that different. Like if like a punk band can play with like a indie rock band, what's the difference of a indie rock band playing with a rapper or a punk band playing with a rapper? Like, there's not that much difference. Like, it's all music, yeah. You know?
'Cause unless the music's good, people wouldn't really give a damn, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Now, I want to focus now on Swimming. Of course, yourself, Nick, and Jake have got a new album called Old coming out the 21st of February.
Yep.
And we're going to get Jake on this podcast as well and probably bring you back in as well to talk about the group more in further detail.
Nice.
How excited are you about this brand new record coming out?
It's exciting for sure. It's like a weight being lifted off the shoulders, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you work on a record, you take forever to finish it or whatever, And then you, like, you could just put it out and no one's going to listen to it or whatever. So, like, you got, like, all right, so we worked on this record forever, so we need to put just as much time into rolling out the record and, like, being, like, responsible in, like, taking the extra steps to get people to cover the record, get people to put record in their, or, like, songs from the record in their playlist, or, you know, to get people to, like, buy the album and to make the album and blah, blah. Like, so there's so much to it. So for it to finally, like, be coming out, like, it's a very big relief in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like it's there, at this point, there's nothing more we can do. We've set everything and it's all in motion. So I was like, all right, we're just going to follow through with the plan and hope that people like it and hope that people engage with it in some type of way.
Yeah, and you said right at the very top here, you're going to be putting this out on vinyl, and you're also going to be putting this on cassette as well, and this will be on streaming services too, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, so vinyl through No Funeral Records from Ontario, and then cassette through my label here in town called Barely There Records.
Awesome. Now, any other future plans for you when it comes to, say, you know, I would imagine you're going to be going on tour to promote this new record for Swimming. And you also have, like, some shows in between under the Cat Cafe pseudonym. So what are your future plans, Liam?
What are my future plans? There's a lot. Like, there's a lot I want to do. My hardcore band, Birch Bear, is putting out a 7-inch at the end of January. My rock band, Cable TV, is putting out a 7-inch at the beginning of February. Along with, I'm helping the band Steel Toe put out a 7-inch at the beginning of February as well. So we're kind of going to do like a double release show for that. And then, yeah, Swimming at the end of the February. And then, there's like, I got like a 3 Cat Cafe albums I'm working on right now. I'm trying just like to clear the deck, you know, get put it all out. At some point, it doesn't all have to be this year, but, you know, at least like finish it and get it ready to get put out. Just to, like, again, like to make a clean slate of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then with like Barely There, just like probably like bringing in more bands from out of province. Like I have I'm bringing Botfly in from Halifax in March. And Swimming's going to play those shows. I've been friends with those guys for a couple of years. Swimming's first show was technically with Botfly, so it's a fun full circle moment. I'm bringing in another band at the beginning of the summer. I shouldn't really say any names yet, just in case, you know, anything falls through.
Oh yeah.
And then hopefully there'll be like another band or two that I'll you know, make some plans with and help them come to Newfoundland and play some shows. That's kind of like my big thing in the summertime is like outside of touring is like trying to help bands that are on tour come to Newfoundland and have a good experience and spread the word about how great we have it here in terms of like music and like audience and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, keep them busy. Yeah.
And for people who want to follow you on this journey, whether it's Cat Cafe, whether it's Swimming, whether it's your Barely There record label, everything Liam Ryan, where can we follow you to when it comes to, say, your social media and, like, websites?
I'm pretty low-key on social media in a lot of ways. You can follow Swimming at Swimming Swam on Instagram. And then on Facebook, we just have called Swimming. If you, like search that in Pages, you'd probably find it. You can find that band on any streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, etc., Bandcamp. For Cat Cafe, I don't really have any social media, no plans to either. I kind of like just being low-key about it and making music with my buddies or whatever. But Barely There, you can follow at Barely There Media on Instagram. And that's pretty much where that's like the main channel of communication there. Like I put everything up on there. So if there's any shows that I've booked, they'll be there. If there's any records or cassettes coming out, they'll be there, you know?
Yeah, and I believe you are also working on something for Andrew Smith too, right? You play with him as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Andrew has an album that's done. I'm unsure of when that is coming out, but I do believe it's before summertime. So you'll have to get him on the podcast for sure.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my plans. And yeah. You're going to be putting out a music video for the brand new song Swimming just dropped called Resorts.
Yeah, that is coming out very soon. It was shot on a Super 8 camera that I had a lend of for about a year or so, and I had three canisters of film, so it's a very fun and personal video for myself, where it's like a year of my life, you know, bookended.
Wow.
Like in this video. I'm super happy with how it turned out. Jacob edited it all, and I can't wait for that to come out. I've been telling all my friends, you know, I'm like, everybody's in it. Like, you guys are gonna like be like surprised at the footage I got, because I kind of feel like I had the camera out and on, like, you know, there's lots of shots of me and my friends, like on regatta day, or, you know, like at shows or whatever. So it's very fun. Like, it's a very like a interesting thing to look back and be like, oh wow, like, this is cool. And it kind of is in theme with like the whole album, where the album's called Old, because it's all our old songs that we never recorded. We like lost our hard drive of music when making our first album.
Wow.
So it was like kind of like it was supposed to be two albums pretty much. So like it's a this footage is from a couple of years ago, so it's, you know, in theme with like being like old and perhaps like nostalgic. Like I know it kind of sounds like when you say like something's old, it's like, oh, it's old, like who cares, but like it's like, you know, kind of looking at it through a different lens of like,
yeah, of like in a more positive aspect.
Exactly, yeah, like memories or whatever, you know. Yeah.
Yes. And this is where you were too, say, 3 years ago, and this is where you're too now. You've grown up in a way.
Totally, for sure.
Well, Liam, this has been an absolute blast to get you on. I've been wanting to get you on for a very long time. I've been saying this to a lot of my guests, but there's so much more guests that I can get on this show.
Totally.
That I haven't really got on yet, but this is one I'm glad I was able to get in right now. And I'll also get you in again and Jake in to talk about the new Swimming record.
Yeah, for sure. Would love to.
So, Liam, again, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
That was Liam Ryan, who was my special guest on the Musical Connections podcast this week. And, of course, I want to remind you once more that Swimming's brand new album, Old, is set to come out on February 21st on vinyl, cassette, and all streaming services. Well, right now, let's feature a song from Liam's hip-hop pseudonym, Cat Cafe. Right now, he is here with Albert Dalton, and those two put out an album back in April of last year called St. Thomas Line. And from that album, here is Dusty Rhodes on the Musical Connections podcast.
Are you an assassin? Are you a soldier? Are you an errand boy? I think you're an errand boy, my man. No paddle, no pedestal. Begin, for I am the assassin.
Like Dusty Rhodes, men of the people, I've experienced hard times. Relic came from the bloodline. I went outside to the sun, mine. Oh, good God. Relic came from the bloodline. Relic came from the bloodline. I went outside to the sun, mine. Ask me Abba, how come every time he hit the stage twice? Cause I love lights and I love nights and the moon bright. Every other rapper acting out of spite. I live independent, shooting out of sight. Never stumble when I fumble, homies always there. Told them get them, then I got them, now they disappear. We just sitting here. Hey, good God. Little than loving the way she walk. Ain't looking to judge, you looking to come through. Maybe the two of us sit and talk. Ain't trying to ruin this, just trying to play it cool with this. I ain't new to this one, I'm running my horizons. Whether it be fog, it's a beside it. Like Dusty Rhodes, men of the people, I've experienced hard times. Relica came from the bloodline. I went outside to the sun, mine. Oh, good God. Relica came from the bloodline. Relica came from the bloodline. I went outside to the sun, mine.
Villain, I will not stop till it's all mine. Work round the clock cause of hard times. Y'all just living hard online. We was OT, shop got set up. We was just babies glued to the road, glued to the goals, watching the heifers that's glued to the gold, losing control. Son of a plumber, son of a stunner, son of the summer, fuck with the boss, I was a runner, writing these raps from here in the gutter. I was attached but still never lover, steaming this ganja, fight like I came from Wakanda, fight like two pits in a Honda, claim on my right to the ring like Tatanka. It's just in my blood like your honor.
Like dusty roads, men of the people, I've experienced hard times, bad like I came from the bloodline, I will not stop till it's all mine. Oh, good God, bad luck came from the bloodline, bad luck came from the bloodline, I will not stop till it's all mine.
I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big, my hand is just a little big, but brother, I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Man, that was such a fun episode of the Musical Connections podcast. Big thank you to Liam Ryan for joining me as my guest this week, and to all the musicians who contributed their songs for Newfound releases. Thank you so much for sending your songs my way and for trusting me to spin them. Of course, if you want to follow along with the Musical Connections podcast, new episodes drop every Tuesday here, wherever you get your podcast, on Apple, Spotify, and you can also check out all previous episodes by heading over to my website, waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast. And you can follow me on socials. On Facebook, you can follow me at Zach Snow, Zach Snow NL on Instagram, and subscribe, please subscribe to the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of my conversations on the Musical Connections podcast. Getting through the backlog still, but you will still be seeing new videos along with the backlog that I've been holding off for a while now, but are now just getting to. And that'll put a bow on episode 108 of Musical Connections. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Thank you so much for connecting with me once again this week. Join me same time next week, where once more, we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Until then, stay safe, be kind to one another, and stay connected. Bye for now.